Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
Say this with me. Say, my heart's open, my mind's ready. Make me better, God, by your word. I receive it, I believe it, and I won't be the same again. In Jesus' name, touch your neighbor on your way down to your seat today. Just say, glad you're here, and happy Easter, and want to go get some good food later, whatever you want to say. Like, Acts 13, verse 29. It reads like this. It says, when they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. I'm teaching and speaking from this text for the very first time in all my ministry, and especially at Easter, because there's a lot more detailed accounts of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ given in the Gospels. But I chose this one specifically because of the way it fit into what I wanted to talk about today. And you can see it's written by a man named Luke, who was a physician by profession, but he was a Christ follower, and he is looking back. He was a part of Jesus' ministry and all the things that happened in the final days of Jesus' life, and now he's looking back, and he's just kind of hitting the high points of it all. And you can see that he's skimming over the top, and he says, they took him down from the cross, they laid him in a tomb. Now, this is the end of the verse, but it's not the end of the story. There is a space of time between this verse and the next verse, which is why I chose this verse. It's the space between what was and what would be. This was Friday. Friday was when they took Jesus off the cross and put him in a tomb. But God wasn't finished on Friday. Friday was what we call day one. But there was a day three coming. And that's where the next verse takes us. Verse 30, first line. But God... How many of you are thankful for divine interruptions in your own life? But God raised him from the dead. Now I want to just go over it so that you tie it all together. They took him down from the cross. They laid him in a tomb. But God. Anybody thankful for the but God moments in your life where life was going one way and then there was God? And things were headed in one direction, and then there was a divine interruption. He says, God raised him from the dead. I want to talk to you this weekend about the space between. The followers of Jesus, just a few days before this, did not expect to be taking Jesus off of a cross and placing him in a grave. Jesus was the one who claimed to be the life, and now Jesus is dead. We all experience times in our own lives where we are suddenly in a space that we didn't plan to be in, and we didn't see it coming. And we were not prepared for it. Something that you thought would last forever suddenly ends. The company that you're working for was downsizing, and you found yourself without a job. The baby that you were excited to bring into the world doesn't make it full term. I remember when our daughter Jody, who is now campus pastor at our Bellevue campus, was in college, and she was in college playing basketball on a basketball scholarship. Thank you, Jesus, for the scholarship. Thank you, God. Sorry, just had to pause a moment and show gratitude. But it was in really the prime of her life, and the dreams that she had hoped for had come true in that season. And the doctors diagnosed her with melanoma. And they went in and thought they had removed the melanoma. But then she is in our house. We were in the kitchen when the phone rang, her phone. She took the phone, and I watched her face as she moved out of the kitchen where we were and over to the living room, and I followed her because I saw what was happening. I didn't know, but I could see a moment and a facial expression. And what they were telling her on the other end is that they did not get all of the melanoma, which means that you don't know where it went from there. And so they asked her to come back in a week. She hung up the phone, and she shared that with her mom and I. And I'm like, a week? What do you mean a week? I can be there in 15 minutes. Because what was happening was all of a sudden our family was thrust into a space that we were not prepared for. And for the next, actually, probably a couple of weeks, because they had to go in, and then they had to make another effort, and then they had to get the test results back again, we were in the space between. The space between what we were excited about and we thought was great, and all was well in life, and things were going as planned, to a space where we didn't know what the future held for us. And what I'm saying to you is that we all experience times where we're suddenly in a space that we didn't plan to be in, a space where we feel disappointment, or we feel hurt, or we feel afraid or uncertain about what to do or where to turn or what the future holds. And my hope on this Easter is to help you to see these times as spaces in your life that God uses on the way to something better in your future. You see, you're not alone when you're in a space. I said, you're not alone. God does His best work in the spaces of our story. So I don't know where this Easter finds you, but I want to assure you that whatever space that you're in, you are not in that space alone. Isaiah 43, it reads like this. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, because there's another in the fire. I said, there's another in the fire. Always wanted to be a musician, singer. Sorry, y'all. I'm now doing this other thing, and if I get a chance, I want to do what was really in my heart to do. There's another in the fire. Standing next to me. See, what I'm telling you is that between what you hope to see and what you're seeing right now is the space between. There's a space between your current experience and what you're believing God for in your future. There's a space between today's pain and tomorrow's healing. That there's a space between the tragedy of today and the triumph of tomorrow. There's a space between your broken heart and your healed heart. That there's a space between. And God does His best work in the space between. Romans 8 and 28 says that we know that in all things God works. In all things God works. Somebody shout, God works.
God works.
Come on, say it again, God works.
God works.
And then the next few words says God works for the good. God works for the good. In all things, God works for the good. God doesn't just work. He works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. In the space of uncertainty, in the space of your trial, God works. In the space between where questions are many and answers are few, God works. If you study Scripture, you'll see that everyone who God used in a significant way had spaces in their story where there were questions and there was uncertainty, and spaces where they felt alone, spaces where their mind was invaded by doubts and worry, fear having to do about the future. One example of that is Moses, who made a mistake and killed a man. And he spent 40 years on the backside of the desert, alone and feeling like he had blown it. But in that space of 40 years, something was happening on the inside of him. He was developing strength and patience and humility and confidence. You see, the space between was a place where he was being prepared for what God had ahead of him. God wasn't done with him. He's the guy, if you don't remember, who led God's people out of the bondage and into the place and the future of God's plan for them. But God does His best work in all of us in the space between. Like you're going to feel in the space between like nothing's happening, because in the space between you don't see everything that's happening. It's like the seed that goes into the soil, and that seed has a future, but right now it's in darkness. It's like what's going on underneath the surface in the tree that you've watched grow in your yard. It didn't just grow outwardly. It grew underneath the surface. And if it doesn't keep growing in the darkness, it never grows outwardly. It doesn't get strong. It doesn't have a future. And what I'm trying to tell you this weekend is that when you don't think something's happening, something's happening. When you think nothing's happening, something's happening. You remember when the people of Israel had to pass through the wilderness on their way to the promised land? And this is probably a good time to say, what you do in the space really matters. How you respond. Some people complained and got frustrated in the wilderness, and they never made it to the place God had planned for them. What you do in the space between, it really does matter. There was a young lady named Esther in Scripture, another great example of this. She was an orphan, and she grew up as a slave in a foreign land. And all the while she's growing up, God is shaping her, and God's getting her ready to be a voice that represented her people and eventually saved them from genocide. It was her voice. She became the influential advocate on behalf of her people. But for years, she's in the space between, a place where she probably wondered, God, what is going on? Why am I here? Why am I orphaned? Why am I without family? What am I doing in this strange land? Can you relate to a little bit of that right now? She had to have some question, but it was the space between. And I want to encourage you, don't get stuck in the past or settle in the present. Keep moving forward. Last week, the world watched as Tiger Woods won the Masters Championship. What was most amazing was how he overcame the challenges in the space between the last time he had won a major and this time. You see, 11 years had passed. The last time that he won a major was in 2008. Shortly after that, his career and his life, his marriage, his health, all had a downward spiral. He went through personal setbacks. He made some bad decisions. He also had several surgeries. And even though he continued to play, people said he was done. The experts said it was over. I gathered a few of those quotes. I wanted you to actually see some of the quotes. Golf.com columnist said, "Tiger Woods' long and slow decline has been painful for him and tedious for us. His fourth back surgery, announced on Thursday, has added a sense of finality. It's over. He's done." Another said, "I do think we'll see him in PGA Tour fields from time to time, starting in 2018. But his days as a threat to win are over." Other quotes from an analyst went like this: "Never say he'll never play again, but also don't look for him to win. I'm afraid this is the end of the road." A writer for ESPN made a plea for Woods to never play again. And here's what he said: "Wanting him to return as a player at this point is wanting to see him suffer in real time. I'm not sure I want to be a party to that torture any longer." Another one said, "Tiger has lost his edge. The swaggering Tiger is no more, and I don't see him coming back." I wanted to show you, because I know everybody's not a sports fan, not a golfing fan, may not have known the background on this, and you might have even heard he won last week and you wonder what the big deal was. And I wanted to show you what's gone on for 11 years. I wanted you to understand why there was so much excitement around the win a week ago. I have a friend who's also a professional athlete. I follow him on social media, and here's what he said about it. He said, "The world needed to see this today." And when I read that, I thought, absolutely. In a world where people quit way too easy, in a world where people throw in the towel and give up on their marriage, on their children, on serving God, in a world where people are quitting whenever things come against them, I couldn't agree more that the world needed to see a man who some days could not walk, much less swing a golf club, who faced criticism. You might have a few friends that don't like you. You could make a case for the fact that the world was against Tiger. People were upset. People have been angry. Analysts have written. And to know that no one believes in you, and yet, to just be fair about it today, the critics saw that downward spiral as the final chapter of his story. They weren't bad people. They just saw it as the final chapter of the story. But you know what made the difference is Tiger didn't see it that way. Tiger saw the setback as a space in his story, not his story. And the mistake that a lot of people make is that they turn what's meant to be a space in their life into the story of their life. Go ahead, you clap. A lot of people hit a tough time in their life and they just revisit it and they have a tendency to relive it. And anybody that'll listen, they'll talk about the injustice and they'll talk about the pain and they'll talk about the failure and they'll talk about the mess up and they'll talk about what somebody did wrong. But to keep thinking about what could have happened or should have happened will cause us to get stuck. There is no future in your past. And the scripture tells us to not look at the past, but to look at the future. And I want to encourage any man who will let me encourage you today, or any woman who is in the house this weekend, and to understand that what happened to you may not have been fair, and it may not have been good, and somebody might have done something wrong. And there's a lot of people who will, when you invite them to go to church, they'll say, I don't go anymore because of what another person did or a pastor did or what they experienced years ago. I want to tell you, there's no future in your past. And I want to encourage you, don't get stuck and don't settle. I'm starting to get a little bit of support in the room right now. Like, don't get stuck and don't settle in the space between. Somebody did you wrong? I'm sorry that that happened to you. You had a tough time? I really am sorry. But I want you to understand that what you made a story was meant to be a space. It was only meant to be a space in the bigger story where you moved on from the space into the next chapter of what God has for your life. Keep moving forward. Keep moving through the space. And maybe right now I'm talking to somebody who would say, yep, I did that, and that's way back there, and I'm still doing it. Don't feel condemned. That's the worst thing that could happen right now. That would be piling defeat on top of defeat. Just understand this day, God loves you enough that he wanted to talk to you a little bit and to say, come on, move your life forward. You can shake this off. You can move beyond what happened in your past. I've got a future that is planned for you. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Somebody shout, there's more.
There's more.
Say it again, there's more.
There's more.
Look at your neighbor and say, there's more.
There's more.
Look at your neighbor who is your second choice and tell them, there's more. There's going to be spaces in your life where the only way that you're going to get through is if you will fight for your future. Now, I know some of you have bought into the idea that, well, if God wants it to happen, he'll make it happen. God wants it to happen. No. You bought into a myth. You bought into a lie. You bought into something that's absolutely not true. There's a lot of things going on in the world right now that are not the will of God. There's a lot of decisions being made in the world today that are not the will of God. If only the will of God was happening in the world today, there would be no hate. There would be only love. There would be no crime. There would be no strife. Come on, anybody want to come along with me on this train right now? Like, we got to fight for our future. I said, we got to fight for our future. I said, we got to fight for our future. I said, we got to fight for our future. I said, we got to fight for our future. Somebody we invited to church said to my wife, we're not going to church. My kids want to stay home. They don't want to go. We were inviting a lot of people, and we just had this ambition and this year, like, especially my wife, and it rubbed off on me. We just decided, like, you know, if we offend you, we're sorry, but it matters this much. Come to church! You know, it's like we just had this boldness come over us. And so one guy told us that, you know, my kids don't want to go, and we're going to stay home and be with the family. Sounds so noble, but we walk away, and my wife's like, I wanted to ask him, how's that going to work for you 100 years from now? Like, staying at home versus bringing your kids into the house and letting your kids grow up in a church, in an atmosphere of faith and confidence and trust in Jesus. I know some of y'all right now maybe not excited to hear me talk that way, but hey, you came. I'm just being me. I'm just telling you right now, sometimes you got to fight for your future. You cannot go with the flow and have God's plan happen in your life. You got to fight. Somebody shout fight.
Fight.
In 2015, there was a young man, George Pickering, who was on life support. He had had a stroke, and the doctors made a decision to start the process of taking him off of life support. And when they did, his father was outraged. And he got his hands on a gun, and he started a standoff with anyone who would try to remove the life support from his son. His son had a history of seizures, and he had seen familiar things like this happen, and he just didn't believe that his son was brain dead. And so he stood at his son's bedside for several hours, commanding his son, if you can hear me, squeeze my hand. And eventually, he did. And today his son is alive and healthy. I'm not recommending you get a gun and have a standoff. But I wanted to say to you, and this is it creates a word, sometimes you got to fight for your future. And sometimes you got to make up your mind when you don't feel like standing, you're going to stand. And sometimes you got to push through the pressure and through the opposition. You see, Jesus had to fight for his future. And he is our example. Maybe one of my favorite settings of Scripture having to do with Easter is Hebrews chapter 12. And here's how it reads. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Doesn't sound very passive, does it? And let us run with perseverance, with determination, the race that is before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the example of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and now is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I could do this story a little different by reminding you that Jesus prayed on Thursday, and he asked if there's any way that this cup could be removed. Please, Father, I don't want to go through this space. If we could have another plan, if there's any way but this way, I'm just trying to help you understand the mindset Jesus had whenever he entered in to Friday. He fought his way through the betrayal and the pain and the suffering and the loneliness to get to the place, the joy that was in front of him, to a place of full surrender, a place of fulfillment, where he could finish strong. So imagine he's in the space between. And imagine Jesus as your example. And this scripture saying, when you feel weary, and when you feel tired, and when you feel like giving up, fix your eyes on Jesus, who in the space for the joy in front of him, he kept on moving forward. He could have called angels. He could have said, time out, done, can't take any more. And heaven would have responded. But Jesus kept on pressing. He kept on moving forward because he knew that this was not the end of the story. He knew Sunday was on the way. And he kept on seeing the joy that was in front of him. If you're here this weekend and you somehow you kind of have an idea that you're just going to coast through life, and your attitude is more like, hey, I'm just, you know, whatever will be, will be. I want to stir you up. I just hope I can stir you up to fight for the future. In the earlier service, earlier in the service, we heard the story of three people who shared some of the stuff they've been through and they've had to fight through in their life, and they continue to fight through. One of them was Jovan. He shared that his life without a dad was a difficult. He's had to do life without a dad in his world. And then there was Kelsey, who shared her battle with alcoholism and overcoming the addiction. And just 3 years ago, she was bound by alcohol. And then there was the story of Dan, who made a decision to not let depression take him out. And I was so grateful as I watched their stories of the transparency and the honesty and the authenticity of people who are still fighting for their future. You see, the way we move life forward is that we make a move. Somebody say, make a move.
Make a move.
We make a move in the right direction. If we don't make a move, we just stay where we are. And for some, the next move is to make a decision that you're going to fight for something beyond the complacency that you're in right now. You're going to say, you know what, I settled way too short. My kids, my family, my future is way too important for me to just relax right now. I got to fight. I got to do stuff that's not easy to do. I got to take a stand and be faithful and be more committed to making Jesus the primary focus of our life. There's husbands that are here this weekend, and your wife and your children need you to lead, and you're capable of doing it, but you just got passive, and you relax. One of the worst things sometimes that happens is that people get to a space where they got a job and things are good and everything's great, and they're in this space, and God didn't bless you so that you would stay complacent and just kind of coast along and go to church, and yeah, especially on big days, wife wants me there. Shut up. Like, that's not what God created you for. Sorry, I said that on Easter, didn't I? It's the last service, forgive me. I've been trying to be nice all day long, but I just want to tell you, I want to be honest with you. God did not bring you this far for you to just settle and take it easy. God has a future, and God has a plan for your children and for your legacy. And your next move is to say, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to fight for for the future. We're going to be faithful to church. We're going to be committed to the things of God. I'm going to lead my family in the way that is right. I'm going to train up my children in the way that they should go so that they'll not depart from it. And that's your next move. There are others here that your next move is to become a Christ follower. A Christ follower. When Jesus was on the earth, he said those two words repeatedly, and he just simply said, follow me. Now, Jesus didn't have a Twitter account or Facebook, but he was inviting people all the time, come follow me, just come follow me, come follow me. I've got better things for you if you just follow me. I'll be there with you in the fire if you follow me. I'll give you strength that you didn't know really existed if you follow me. And there's people this weekend, and there's people in this service, actually. Your next move is just to raise a hand high in a few minutes when I give you a chance and to say, I want to be a Christ follower. I want to make him the leader and the Lord of my life. And I don't understand it all, and I don't know what it's all about, but that's your next move. Next weekend is baptism weekend, and some of you haven't been baptized. Your sons and daughters, your family hasn't been baptized. Well, you know what? You can move your life forward by being baptized next week. It's a move. Making a move in the right direction is what moves your life forward. And just remember that if you don't make a move, you stay where you are. And none of us want to stay where we are. For some of you, the next move is to be a part of Growth Track. Go to Growth Track. Become part of the church. Get planted in the house of God. Make it a priority. Sometimes, yeah, I'm going to say it. You don't get in shape by going to the gym a couple times a year. You don't become strong by going to the gym a few times and sitting in the gym. You know where you get strong? When you embrace resistance. When you do it regularly. When you say, I might be in the space, but while I'm in this space, God's getting me ready for the future he has planned for me. And I'm not going to do this half-heartedly. Like, I'm going to do it with all of my heart, and I'm going to do it as unto the Lord, because there is a destiny inside of me that deserves to be lived out. And with God's help, I'll keep going to the gym. I'm talking about church, by the way. I'll keep going to the gym. I'll keep showing up and let God do what he wants to do in my life, day after day, week after week, month after month. Yeah! There's another in the fire. Anybody receive the word today? You receive for your own life? Come on, if you receive for your own life, just raise a hand up high. I got it, Pastor Kevin, I got it. Okay, how about you hold a hand or both of them up in the air? Let me pray for you right now. God, I thank you for every man, every woman, every person who is in the house today. And God, we believe with all of our heart that this word does not return void. It accomplishes everything it's sent forth to do. And I thank you, God, that as we receive the word into the soil of our soul, God, that you are doing a new thing and a better thing inside of each and every one of us today. We're not going to leave here like we came. We're going to leave here with new hope, new decisions, moving our life forward, not complacent, making a move. We're going to leave here getting ready to get baptized. We're going to leave here getting ready to bring people to church. We're going to leave here believing for a greater life after Easter than we had before Easter. And I thank you for it. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, while some of you can put your hands down, while some of you today are a part of this service, your next move is just to become a Christ follower. And so I'm going to lead you in a prayer. We're all going to pray it together, and this is your moment. And this is your time to let God know from you and from your heart that you surrender your life to Him and that you believe in Him and that you want His will to be done in your future. So let Him know that you're going to put all of your trust and confidence in Him for salvation. And so if today that's your heart and you want that, I'm going to invite you to join all of us in a prayer that we're going to pray. We're going to pray it out loud. And my hope, this week I've just been praying, and one day I remember I said, God, I'm going to have unreasonable expectations for some people this week. That God, they may not even have that expectation themselves. I'm going to believe for them. And I'm going to believe, God, that you're going to do for them in a moment what I can't do in a lifetime. And so we're here in a moment that could change your entire life, your legacy, your future. And if you're that man, that woman, and it's your time to make a move, why don't you just say this and say it out loud, loud enough for you to hear yourself say it. Would you do that today? Say it with me. Say, Lord Jesus. Come on, say it loud. Lord Jesus, welcome to my world. Come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sin. And make me a new person. I receive you now as the leader, as the Lord of my life. And I thank you for my salvation. Say that again. I thank you for my salvation. And I'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name. Okay, two opportunities, and all I want to do is have a little fun and give God glory. Here's what I want to do. First one is, if while I'm talking, you made a decision to make some kind of move that's going to move your life forward, I'm just going to ask you to raise a hand up in the air and just like, yep, I'm making it right now. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, God bless you. Now, second one is if you said, you know what, I am going to leave here a Christ follower. I'm in right standing with God. I just prayed that prayer. Or, Pastor Kevin, I'm going to get baptized next weekend. Either one of those, raise your hand up high. I just want to celebrate. Good. Hands are going up. Come on, come on, church. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Come on. God bless you guys. Welcome to the family of God.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select Give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.